So I think we're likely to probably see gay marriage in California, but absolutely not a constitutional right to gay marriage in all 50 states.
Hi, I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV, and I am joined by our Supreme Court reporter, Damon Root, who has just come back from oral arguments in the California Proposition 8 hearings. Damon, I've heard scuttlebutt so far on the internet that we might be headed towards a punt. Is that consistent with what you've seen? What's going on?
I mean, basically, one of the big issues was standing. So what happened was California, the government of California, said we're not going to defend Prop 8 in court. Initially, this is a voter initiative. So the voters of California amend the Constitution by ballot to prohibit gay marriage. The government of California says, well, we're not going to defend that. We think that's wrong. We think that violates equal protection. So then who has the standing to defend the law in court? And the California Supreme Court rules that the backers of the ballot initiative have the standing. The Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court today, at least by my count, the four liberal justices and probably also Chief Justice Roberts seem to think that these people do not have the standing to bring the case, which would send the ruling back to the district court level, which could mean one of basically two things, that we have gay marriage in California but nowhere else, or the ruling is limited just to the two same-sex couples that brought the case, so they could have marriages but no one else. So I think we're likely to probably see gay marriage in California, but absolutely not a constitutional right to gay marriage in all 50 states.
Now, Justice Kennedy expressed open kind of uncertainty about like even talking about the case. You felt like it had gone too far. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, Kennedy is the author of the Supreme Court's two big pro-gay rights decisions, and particularly Lawrence versus Texas, which struck down Texas's ban on sodomy. And so he's seen as a real ally of the gay rights movement. However, in this case, he said the court's entering into uncharted waters was one of his quotes. But he also said, and I think maybe more importantly, was that why did we even take this case? He seemed to not want to have anything to do with it and not want to basically join a majority on either side ruling on the constitutional merits. And so we could have a very complicated decision where you have, five or six justices saying that there's no standing to rule on the case, Kennedy saying, well, we shouldn't have heard it to begin with. So it's definitely not any kind of a slam dunk, there's a right to gay marriage.
And tomorrow we're hearing the Defense of Marriage Act constitutionality, which is a different question, but they'll be lumped together. Do you see the court kind of looking for a political way out so as not to stick their necks out too far? Or are they responding to public opinion, which is shifting very fast on this question?
Well, there was a lot of talk about shifting public opinion. And basically, every lawyer brought it up, multiple justices brought it up. I mean, so they're thinking about this. They're weighing this. And that's one of the arguments. Alito made this argument. Roberts made this argument, which is that why not let the people decide? Voters are making their minds up on this issue. Why should the court step in? So there's sort of a classic argument about judicial restraint and deference. Let the sort of voters decide. And so that was an argument made today. In the Defense of Marriage Act case, the sort of a deference argument gets kind of turned on its head because there you have Congress acting and perhaps overstepping its bounds and interfering with the decisions that voters in the state level have made by legalizing same-sex marriage. So you've got there's definitely a concern and an interest in what the people are doing and letting people have their way.
Now this has divided, these cases have divided libertarians in addition to Americans. Trying to wrestle the relative importance of allowing states to be laboratories of democracy or oppression, as the case may be, and trying to restrain government and these kinds of types of things. Could a kickback on standing levels for the Prop 8 case, coupled with a ruling that DOMA is unconstitutional, is that some kind of libertarian almost Christmas, or is that what would that combination of rulings look like?
Well, so the libertarian division is basically that does federalism mean a state can ban gay marriage? Or do libertarians say that the 14th Amendment means that gay marriage is unconstitutional because it violates equal protection? So assuming that the state should be able to sort this out for themselves, a combination of limiting Congress's power under the Defense of Marriage Act, plus kicking it back and letting gay marriage happen on the state-by-state level, I mean, that would be the sort of a broad federalist piece-by-piece answer.
But libertarians weighed in actually on the Prop 8 side hoping to get it struck down, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, leading libertarian organizations and scholars, you know, favor. I mean, there are other libertarians are against, were against striking down Prop 8, but I think it's generally safe to say that libertarian legal position was that Prop 8 is unconstitutional.
Okay, you're a betting man, you got 10 bucks. What are you betting on for the Prop 8 case?
I would say, I think we're gonna see a ruling that the Prop 8 backers do not have standing. I could see the Chief Justice joining with the four liberals on that, and that would effectively send it back to the states. I think it will be limited to California. So we'll see gay marriage in California, but that's as far as it goes.
That's great. For Reason TV, I'm Matt Welch with Damon Root. Thank you very much.